You guys don't have to be shy. You could come up a little closer. But well, we'd invite everybody to come in and sit down if you can. And again, it's just awesome to have John with us here all the way from Kenya, Africa. And before John begins, how about we have a word of prayer? Oh, dear Lord God, we just thank you for the honor to serve in your kingdom in many and various ways with the gifts that you entrust to us. Lord, we're especially honored today to have John here with us, and we just thank and praise you, Lord, for the work that John and the Wolf Pack do in Africa and the blessings that you bestow upon them. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share together here this morning and just to hear about your church halfway around the world. Lord, we pray your blessings on John as he shares this good news with us this day. In your name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Well, welcome again, John.
Thank you, Pastor. And thank you all for your time today during Bible study. It's so fun to be able to meet people face-to-face, and we really enjoyed our time here at Trinity when our whole family was here. You were very welcoming and helped us get sent off to Kenya because you were one of the last churches that we visited before we went. Actually, I think it was our last Sunday that we were here, in fact, that we were at Trinity as well, too. So, map shows where my family and I live. We live near the Red Star, that is the capital of Kenya, called Nairobi. And in Eastern Africa, it provides us a good launching point from there to be able to go to other parts of the continent from which I work. And for where the LCMS is active in really 26 different countries across the whole continent of Africa. And I'll show that a little bit later on as well, too. Next slide, please. But I bring greetings from my family. My wife Jen and I have five children, or I should say five children. If I were to count five in Eastern Africa, I'd count one, two, three, four, five. So when I give five, I can say nipetano. Nipetano. And you're giving me five, which is kind of neat. My kids really like the fist bumps. But our children, Ian is 16, Sean is 14, Thad is 11, Anna, our only girl, is 9 now, and Angus is 3, going on 15, trying to keep up with his older siblings. We live in not a grass hut or a stick home. We actually have a stone house, fairly strong and robust to last four growing boys. We have running water. We collect it off of our roof. And it goes into a cistern in the ground, and then we pump it to an up tank, and then it comes in through the pipes and into our sinks. So we actually have Western-style sinks in there, although very modest in our housing. If we want hot water, we go outside and we light a fire under a little stove, and it heats about 20 gallons for us to be able to have, or we now have a solar heater as well, too. But it's really nice to be here in America where I just turn on the faucet in the shower and hot water comes out. I can sit under it and stay warm. It does not get this cold. It may get down to the low 50s in Nairobi and maybe the low 90s in the summertime. We're about 6,000 feet elevation, so about the same as Cheyenne. But if I step out off that plateau and go down towards the coast, it can, you know, it's very hot and humid, what kind of what you expect Africa to be. Or if I go to northern Kenya, it is very hot and dry in those areas. Same for other parts of Africa as well, too. Next slide. We do a lot of our things by hand there. So when we go to the market, we can write your vegetables and things. We end up washing all those things by hand. Next slide. We will wash our clothes as well, too. But this wasn't a problem for my wife. As an exchange student in Malaysia, in high school, her job every night was to wash the clothes by hand. And so she just got three big tubs and started washing clothes. And she thought, you know, we just continue this. Our kids thought that was fantastic and fun. And they're like, can we do that, too? Jen's like, sure, here's how you do it, and have fun. About 3 weeks later, we found a washing machine. So we now have an electric washing machine. Still have to hang the clothes out in the line, which I really enjoy. And the kids like that. I love the smell of sun-dried clothes. Next slide. Our kids are homeschooled. My wife was a teacher in our early years, and when we were in the military, homeschooled our children. And we've continued to do that in Africa, and actually has been fantastic. There are homeschoolers in Kenya. And my wife has been able to connect with them on Thursdays to get together with other Kenyan families who are homeschooling. And not only has that been great for our kids to practice their Swahili, learn cultural activities, but for my wife to be able to connect with other moms and other families who have grown up there or other expats as well too. It gives us a place to be able to ask questions. Where do we go for medical support? Where do we go to find things that we can't find in the stores normally here? Or who has, you know, whatnot? And to be able to ask questions when we see things in politics or in the community, is this something we need to pay attention to, or is this something that just happens all the time? And what do they do for security in different aspects? So that network of people has been fantastic to step into. Has really helped us have a good landing spot there. So I bring greetings to you from my family. Next slide. I bring greetings to you also from your brothers and sisters in Christ, from Alleluia Lutheran Church in Nakavale Refugee Camp in southwestern Uganda. This is a different story from what I told during church today. And these people also are very grateful to have you as brothers and sisters in Christ. They did not know how many Lutherans there were in the world, and they also come from the country of Ethiopia, where I mentioned in that country they were also persecuted, pushed out of that area, but they go into Sudan 15 years ago. If you remember what was happening in that country, the civil wars between the Muslim North and the Christian South, it was safer in that war-torn country than it was in their own country. But while they're there, they're received by Christians, and not just Christians, by Lutherans, and they gain a copy of a catechism. And as they're reading this, they're hearing things that for them they hadn't heard before as well too, because likewise from traditional African religions or other religions, they had always been told that man has to do certain things to please God. And here they're hearing that God, there's a God above all gods. He loves them so much that he has sent his son on their behalf to take on their sin and their guilt. And that is good and relieving news for them. That is, Christ has done this entirely on their behalf. It's not like God has done a certain part and man has to do his part. Christ has done all this on our behalf. And when God sees us, he doesn't see our guilt. He doesn't see our shame. He doesn't see that we have still work to do to earn his pleasure. He sees Christ. And he sees us clothed in Christ's righteousness. And that was good news for them. Next slide. But they couldn't stay in Sudan because of the tribal conflict that still is happening between tribes vying for power in South Sudan. So they ended up going to Uganda, a part of that country that nobody really wants to live in. Right on the equator, very hot and dry. But that is where the United Nations was establishing a refugee camp. And while they're there, they're continuing to tell people about Christ. And they're doing this under this thorn tree, as I'm hearing their story. And there are many things in Africa that have thorns. The bush that's around our house has long thorns. But this particular tree, if you step on it, it will go through your shoe. And when it punctures your skin, it has a bit of irritant that will cause it to inflame and burn and cause your foot to swell. And I think about the crown of thorns on Christ and the pain that he endured on our behalf. And this is where people are sharing the gospel. And this congregation grows. They learned that their cousins in Column Bay were visited by a Lutheran missionary, which I mentioned earlier. And they said, can we have a missionary visit us as well too? And this is about the time that we are coming into the field. And one of the things that we are able to do is not just put them in touch with a missionary, but put them in touch with a pastor from the Lutheran Church of Uganda. And through the Refugee Word and Sacrament Project I get to work with, we support this pastor to travel on bus and motorcycle for 5 hours to visit these people. And the first day that he visits, he baptizes 80 adults, children, and babies. He gives the Lord's Supper, something that they hadn't had for so long. He's able to provide, teach the gospel and teach the catechism. And we have continued to support him visiting 4 times a year, and even his congregation has supported him to go visit these people on his own. And this congregation now grows. They no longer fit under the shade of this thorn tree, and about 200 people. I burn, with my fair skin, I burn about 15 minutes standing in the sun here. Their worship services would be about 2 to 3 hours long. You should try that, Pastor. And they asked, can you build us a church? And one of the things we asked them is, well, what can you do to build a church? And they said, we can make bricks. Next slide. And I saw this. They can take the clay, the sand, and the straw, and they can make bricks. So they made 10,000 bricks. And 10,000 bricks fills about twice the floor space of this sanctuary. Those first 10,000 bricks, though, were spoiled when the rains came. So they made 10,000 more bricks, and this time they asked for tarps, and we helped them get tarps. The tarps were stolen because they're valuable in a refugee camp, and those were spoiled in the rain as well, too. So they made 10,000 more bricks, and this time they had men on the ground to guard them, And we were able to then help them through the Tin Roofs for Africa project, one of their projects I get to work with. That allowed us to get tin, timber, fired bricks for the footing, and concrete and mortar for, or concrete to be mortar and plaster for the walls. So next slide. When I visited in August of last year, this was the finished church building. And it's fantastic with the steel doors and wooden shutters. And this was a church that is theirs. They put their hands into it. This is their congregation. This is their church building. They want to be able to, there are three, when I visited these people, I was told that these were absolutely destitute people and have nothing. I met instead very dignified people. Their homes looks smaller versions of this, but very nice walls, and they would carve into the plaster as it was drying. They would carve artwork into it. These are people who had retained their dignity. I met three teachers, two nurses, a doctor, a community health worker, a carpenter, and these are all people who were so eager to be able to have the gospel, who left their jobs from where they were before, but in this situation, they know that Christ is providing for them with what little they have. Next slide. So when I was with them, they were thanking me and really thanking you for your prayers, your support that have allowed them to be able to hear the gospel, to be able to have a pastor visit them, to be able to help them build a church, and now to be able to send a man from their congregation to seminary in Kenya. He'll return back in 2 years and be a pastor for this congregation. And thanking you also for sending your missionaries, for allowing them to be able to connect with God, to hear God, but also to connect with other Lutherans in the world. And they were thinking, I was standing in front of them like they're standing in front of you today in the way that they're thanking me. I was feeling so humbled to be with these people, knowing what they had gone through. And I realized that the work that we do as missionaries is one small part of what the Holy Spirit is doing across this whole continent of Africa, because there's so much more to the story. Much like the early Christians and the apostles in Rome and Jerusalem were persecuted and pushed out of those cities and shared the gospel as they went, these people may not have heard about Christ had they not been pushed out of Ethiopia. And they may not have been received by Lutherans in South Sudan had 25 years ago we helped start churches in that country. And they may not have been received by a Lutheran pastor in Uganda had 23 years ago that country asked to have the gospel come there, and they asked for missionaries to come to the country of Uganda. Those missionaries came from the African country of Ghana, and they started telling six men in a small room about Christ. The Lutheran Church of Uganda today has 130 congregations that continue to grow at about 5 congregations a year. They have 22 pastors. They realize there's such urgency to be able to train men to become pastors that 3 years ago they started building their own classroom for 20 students. That was also the dormitory for those students and the chapel for daily and the church for Sunday service. In addition to taking care of 16 acres of farmland that provide the food for those students. 3 years later, they're still living off that first year harvest. They had such a bumper crop of corn and beans. All the other crops in the surrounding area stopped growing. Theirs continue to grow. God continues to bless people in Africa. Those two missionaries that came to the country of Uganda were not American. They were African. They came from the African country of Ghana. In the 1950s, LCMS missionaries were living in villages in that country, sharing the gospel and telling people about Christ. That country today has its own seminary. It is training men from other English-speaking countries in Africa, and they are providing advice for other Lutheran churches across the continent. So as I'm standing in front of these people in Nakavale, I'm realizing that the work that we do as missionaries is so small because the Holy Spirit is working across this continent to bring people to Christ. And not just over the last 80 years, but really over the last 150. And really, if you go back to Philip, who shared the gospel with the eunuch of Queen Candace's court, is really when Christianity came to Africa. It was substantial and phenomenal to be part of what the Lord is doing there. So I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ from Alleluia Lutheran Church in Nakavale Refugee Camp in southwestern Uganda. Next slide, please. This is not something I thought I would be doing in my lifetime. But God has ways. You know, He opens doors and He shuts doors. And I've experienced many of those shut doors and have not been able to get through, but He's always provided a way in the direction that He wanted us to go. And mission work was one of those opportunities we learned about. I shared a little bit last time how we got into this. But it's 20 years in the Air Force. The red dots denote where we or our family members have been born. Sean was born in Korea, in fact. And we were stationed in at Buckley Air Force Base in Aurora, Colorado for some of our time. And after I retired from the Air Force, we moved back to Colorado, thought we'd be able to find a place that's kind of halfway between the West Coast and the East Coast. But because of the housing rates there, legalization of marijuana, we could not find a house. And so we wound up in Cheyenne, Wyoming, as close as we could get. And so we always, when we are here, we have to travel through Greeley in order to come back down to Denver. So it's fun to be back with you today. Next slide. But as we were looking at mission work, we learned how much the church is growing across the continent. It's estimated about 10,000 people a day are coming to Christ. And the Lutheran Church is growing as well, too. I'll share a few more numbers than I did last time. Madagascar, the island nation in the southeast corner of Africa, has over 4 million Lutherans in that country. And 2 weeks ago, the International Lutheran Council just accepted them as members in fellowship with all the other Lutheran churches within the ILC. Ethiopia, I talked about that, in the northeast corner of Africa, has 8.5 million Lutherans that continue to grow at a rate of about 100,000 Lutherans a year. If you do the math, that's almost 300 baptisms a day. 2,500 pastors for that congregation, about 400 parishioners per pastor. It's not uncommon for a pastor in Africa to have 4 to 10 congregations that he is taking care of as well, too. I talked about Uganda, how there are 130 congregations, 22 pastors there. West Africa as well, too. If you remember the civil wars that took place in Sierra Leone and Liberia in the late 90s, God called many of his children home during those wars. But he also called many people to be able to leave those countries. And they started churches in Guinea, Ivory Coast, Benin, Togo, Burkina Faso. And in fact, in Burkina Faso, the man goes to the government and asks, where's the church least represented? He's in a heavily Muslim populated area. And the government tells him where the church is least represented. So he goes and he starts telling people about Christ. And soon he has not just one church, but he has 2 and 3 churches. And he realizes as a layman, he needs to have a shepherd for these congregations. And about that time, we had missionaries in neighboring Togo who were living in villages. And they realized as well too, we needed a place, the church needed a place of instruction to train men to become pastors in French-speaking West Africa. So what started, or what began there in Togo, is now the Center for Lutheran Theological Education in West Africa, and they support men from 9 different French-speaking countries in West Africa. So it started as civil war in Sierra Leone and Liberia has now resulted in the gospel spreading across West and Central Africa. And God can do that. He can take tragedy like that because we are his creation, and he uses people in so many different ways to be able to share the gospel. Our work takes us across the whole continent. This picture is actually posted online, so for the sake of the work that we are doing in some countries, or for the sake of the missionaries in those areas, not all of those countries are represented on this because of the safety of those individuals. But as we were learning about mission work, one of the things that was being realized in Africa is that because the church is growing so much, that our pastors who are missionaries are busy. They're training other men to become pastors. We have 2 pastors in Ethiopia who are doing just that. They're teaching a seminary. 1 soon in Uganda, 2 in Kenya, 1 soon in Tanzania. Togo, we have 3 pastors there, 1 in Ghana, 1 in Sierra Leone, and 1 in Nigeria as well, too. And then we work with pastors to send them to South Africa because there's such a need to be able to train men to become shepherds for their congregations as they continue to grow. And so as we were looking at mission work, there was a realization that there needed to be somebody working all the things behind the scenes, because if a pastor is busy teaching in the classroom, that means he can't have the time to be able to get the very books sometimes to be able to teach in his classroom, or in the case of a classroom, to be able to build the seminary so they have a classroom to teach in, or to be able to find monies so that the students can attend there, or once those students return as pastors to the villages to help them build a church or put in wells or help with needs of mercy. Because our pastors who are missionaries need to teach other men to become pastors. So as we're looking at mission work, one of the things that we were asked is, can you help do this and help our pastors with the things that they need so that the gospel can be shared? And can you do that for all of Africa? I said, well, it's kind of a big place. I've stepped into jobs before where the incumbent had left and now there's no continuity, and my role has been asking people, talking, and asking my leadership, is this kind of what you're looking at? So I'm like, okay, I've done this before. But really, I need to ask my wife. And she said, well, we've never lived there before, so why not? And she was very excited to have the chance to go to Africa. So after retiring in June 2015 and a year of visiting churches for the support, in July 2016, we deployed to Africa. Next slide. They gave us 3 days to find a house, but God already had one planned out for us, which we're so thankful. I walked into this house, I'm like, I'm home. this will work for us. But then we went to Tanzania to learn Swahili as a family. My wife and I were in class, and our children were in class as well, too. And this is actually one of our classrooms. I wish there were some kids in here. But this literally was a stick house with windows in there and grass for thatching on the roof. But that was our classroom that we learned. For me, working in Eastern Africa and West Africa as well, too, even though there are 42 different languages in Kenya, 140 different in Tanzania, and I will never learn all of those, what is commonly spoken is Swahili. And for me to be able to go into a village, to be able to work with a pastor, especially outside of urban areas, be able to speak a language that is commonly understood really helps open up doors. They see that I'm not here just with, you know, money in my pocket, which I don't have any. They see that I'm a brother in Christ, and we're here to walk together in the gospel and share the gospel within their community. So that really helps open up doors to be able to speak a common language. In our normal presentations, this is about the time where Thad and Anna would sing to you the Lord's Prayer in Swahili, because they love to do that. I'm sorry to say that I am not going to repeat that for you. So I have to wait till next time. Sorry. Next slide. But after 3 months of training, we went back to Nairobi, got settled for a little bit, and then started visiting different parts of Africa and seeing what the Lord is doing across the continent. And one of the first places I went to was a seminary in Kenya, where the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya is training men to become pastors from many parts of Eastern Africa. And one of the men I met was this man. This is Oti Charles. And Pastor Oti Charles has a background a little different from ours. As a young boy, he was abducted from his family, and along with other boys, and they were taken into the bush, and they were trained to be soldiers, because in his country of Sudan, they needed not just men, but also boys to fight their tribal wars. About 2.5 months into this training, he was injured fairly severely, but you could see that the Lord's hand was upon this man, because a female soldier takes him back to her home, nurses him back to health, and instead of returning him to the training, she returns him to his family, helps him escape to Uganda, and there he becomes a Christian, becomes a Lutheran, and now he is a pastor. He is back in his country of South Sudan. He is preaching to 7 congregations, and he's teaching other men to become pastors as well, too. And got to hear not just his story, but many others as well, too, and see what our church is doing to be able to help men become pastors. On that map notes 13 or 12 different countries in which we are working with the seminaries in those locations, or just places of instruction to be able to train men to become pastors. Some are very mature, like the one at Matongo. They just celebrated the 40th anniversary this year. They are the only seminary in Africa that we work with that offers an accredited bachelor's program. That's significant to have a place of instruction actually has a bachelor's program. It means you're meeting certain requirements to be able to offer a degree that is recognized in other countries. We take that for granted so much here. That is so much work to do in Africa to make that happen. Some are just starting. In Republic of Congo, kind of in the middle on the west side, and in Guinea, those churches want to be able to have a place of instruction for men to at least go through the first year of instruction. Pastors may have one or two more jobs in addition to being a pastor. They're bivocational, which means that they are probably a farmer or a businessman, or they may have a farm and some businesses as well, too, to be able to provide for their family. And for them to step away from that and leave that to their wife and kids to be able to manage makes it difficult, especially if they have to travel a long period of time into a different country to be able to study. So to be able to train in their own country means that they can be a lot closer to home and to be able to take care of those needs at home as well, too. So that's where we're helping start. These churches want to be able to start a place of instruction in their own countries. And they also can train more men as well, too. because their congregations continue to grow, continue to tell people about Christ. Next slide. This is one of those places where the congregation continues to tell people about Christ. This is Pastor Joseph. He is in Burkina Faso. I talked about in Burkina Faso how the immigrant or the refugee from Liberia goes to Burkina Faso, asks the government where the church is least represented, starts 1, 2, 3 churches, realizes he needs to have a man who, or some shepherds for these congregations, sends them to the seminary in Togo, and now he returns back. Pastor Joseph is one of these men who was sent to Togo to the Center for Lutheran Theological Education. He's now a pastor in Burkina Faso. But the neat part was his congregation. His congregation was so joyful that we were there because they are sharing Christ in their community. People, in fact, when they built their church, next slide, I think this is the right one. Remember, they're in a heavily Muslim populated area, and they're telling people about Christ. And they wanted to build a church because they no longer fit under the shade of their tree as well, too. And they, likewise, they said they could build bricks, so they built bricks. And their neighbors thought they were crazy. They said, nobody's going to come here. Why are you doing this? They built that church. They built that church, and we helped them put the roof on as well, too. And people were coming. They would travel 5 to 20 kilometers on foot to be able to hear the gospel. But what do you think they did when they went back to their communities? They started telling people about Jesus. And as they went, the people in their community said, we need to hear that, have the gospel here as well too. Next slide. So as they would go, as they would share the gospel, they told me, what they were so eager to share with me was the list that they had on the door. As you leave the door, they have a list of the 12 congregations that they have started. And most of those do not meet in a church building. Most of them are under trees. And some of them, they start making their own bricks. And I got to see them stacked up. One of them had the tin and the timber. He had it in the grass hut. He's like, it's right here waiting for when we're done. Put this up. And they're so joyful to have a place where they could share the gospel and tell that with other people. So they also pass their greetings to you. I don't know if I have a picture here, but the ladies specifically sung a song to pass greetings to our brothers and sisters, their brothers and sisters here in the States. Let's see if it's the next slide. Nope, it's not. But we're going to take a trip down to Southern Africa right now. This is the country of Malawi. It's noted in the very small graphic there. The Great Rift Valley runs from Southern Africa all the way up to the Golan Heights in Syria. And along there are a number of great lakes. Lake Malawi is one of those great lakes of Africa, and the country of Malawi runs about half of the length of that. One of the poorest countries of Africa, devastated by benevolent efforts to be able to provide support, but when you inject free things into the economy, like free fertilizer or other free things, it means that those people who are producing those things now go out of business. Or if you provide a lot of support so people can grow things on their own, like fertilizer, it means all the farmers now can't compete with all these other people who are producing vegetables and stuff, and the price of goods goes down, which means that they go out of business. And when the subsidies leave, the people who are subsidized go out of business as well, too. And this has happened to this economy many times. But this is one of the places where God's word is the richest as well, too. When they gained their independence, they planted forests in the highlands area of this country, and those forests have provided benefits to this country even today. Timber is one of their greatest exports. But this is a part of Africa where traditional African religions are still very prominent. My very pinky, because it's white, if it were severed from my body, can be used to ward off evil spirits. And it's part of Africa where if you have problems in your life, obviously you've done something wrong to offend the gods or to offend the ancestors. And you need to sacrifice a chicken or something to appease them. And if that doesn't work, then it'd be a goat. If that doesn't work, then the witch doctor or soothsayer will say, well, you need to sacrifice a cow. And he gets half of that sacrifice as a meal, the other half is burnt as an offering. If that doesn't work, then human life is needed. And I'm told that white skin appeases the gods better than dark skin. We have a number of albino Africans that live in our community, and they're at particular risk of abduction just for these purposes. But this is a place also where the gospel is thriving. In southern Mozambique, or southern Malawi, northern Mozambique, I get State Department warnings that tell me where it's not safe for me to travel, specifically because of these purposes. But when people hear that there is a God above all gods, and that he loves us so much that he sent his son, and that there is not enough that we can do, there's not enough sacrifices that we can offer to earn his favor. And he knows that he sacrificed his own son on our behalf. That becomes relieving news, that they no longer have to live in fear, because they never know if they can do enough to appease the gods, or is always this constant balance of something I've done right to earn their favor, now something I've done wrong, I need to offer sacrifices. And it becomes a life of fear. When they hear about Christ, that becomes a life of joy for them, and they hold on to that. This congregation has a particular problem. I was there on a, or not congregation, but church body. I was there on a Women's League weekend, and it's kind of like an LWML rally. And the ladies of this church body were gathering gifts to be able to help this church tell others about Christ, because they have 91 congregations. This church body is about 7 years old. So in 7 years, they go up to 91 congregations. They have 12 church buildings. Next slide. They just finished their 12th church building on our Christmas Eve. They started our Thanksgiving weekend last year. So in 4 weeks, they built a church building. This is what that church building looks like, with the walls almost complete. They have 6 pastors. 4 of them are getting ready for retirement. They are in desperate need of pastors. Next slide. Pastor Wowa, who is executive chairman for the Confessional Lutheran Church in Malawi, is training 20 men as evangelists or deacons within the churches so that they can lead the worship service. He goes over the readings. Once a month, he tries to gather them, kind of like in this setting. And he goes over the readings for that month. He writes the sermons for them all, and he sends that out by email if he can. But Malawi doesn't have very good infrastructure, so he sometimes has to send that by text. And you can only send so many characters per text, so he sends them out. You know, it takes about 5 or 6 texts to get this out. Or he sends it by mail. But he wants to keep people steadfast in the faith, and that they know that they have a Lord and Savior, because there's so much to pull them away. The witch doctors are crafty. They know that Christianity is growing, and that they're losing part of their income. They don't get half of their sacrifice anymore. But they can put Krishna words on their traditional religions. And instead of having to offer sacrifices to the gods, now you have to make personal sacrifices in your life, and you have to tithe a certain amount to earn God's favor. And instead of asking the spirits of the dead ancestors into your body so you can retain the knowledge of many generations, now you ask the Holy Spirit into your body, and you know that he's in you because you can feel certain things, and you can do certain things, and you can proclaim certain things. I see huge billboards in Western Africa, announcements in Eastern Africa that make announcement about a visionary or soothsayer or prophet that will be gathering in a park, and you can gather as well too and hear your prosperity gospel preached to you. It becomes very confusing. But isn't that how Satan works? He wants to confuse us so we don't know the truth, and he wants to pull us as far away from Christ as possible so we don't know that Christ has died for us, but that we depend upon ourselves again, be it a traditional African religion or a false Christian religion. But that is why Pastor Wo is eager to be able to train men to become pastors and to be able to help teach and take care of these shepherd flocks as they continue to grow. We're able to, through a couple of other programs that I get to work with, the Mission Training Center program, to be able to send a missionary twice a year down to visit with and train the evangelists so that in 3 years' time they can become evangelists and be able to lead church worship services. And we're also this year as well too offering a scholarship for one of these men to go to seminary in Matongo. We've helped each year as well. They build churches. They'll start their next church building in November this next year. Let's see, next slide. Let's see if I have this. And while I was there at the ladies, or the women's league, sorry, the ladies made an offering. And when they make their offerings, it's probably a little different than what we're used to. They don't just pass the plate in between the pews and the money goes in. Remember, this is one of the poorest countries of Africa, so I'm surprised what resources they do have. But those baskets were in the front of the church. And ladies didn't just bring the gifts forward, they danced them forward, and they would sing. They'd take a verse from the Bible and make a song. It was very joyful. And to be able to provide a gift there on this day during the worship service. And the worship service on this day was 5 hours long, by the way. You want to try that one, Pastor? They raised 34,000 Malawi kwacha on that day. I was astounded at the giving that these people had and that they were providing. And they wanted to be able to share the gospel with other people and help. This is going to go towards building the next church. When we help churches in Africa, very rarely are we funding the entire effort ourselves. Most often is a partnership. We don't have deep pockets like other church bodies, but we do are able to share the gospel. And in the case of Malawi, we'll provide them a certain amount, and then they almost always double that or sometimes triple it to build a church. And in fact, this church building that you see here costs $17,000. We provide them $5,000. They raise the additional money on their own. I was astounded to be able to hear that. But that's the case in other places in Africa, too, where we'll help. And like you saw in the refugee camp, they were able to build the bricks. That was their contribution, and we helped them provide the roof, things that they would not otherwise be able to afford. The 34,000 Malawi kwacha that they gathered on this day, though, was $27 equivalent. I was astounded because the pastor said that's about what they tithe in the course of a month. But they gathered the gifts, and they are amazing stewards to be able to share the gospel and share that with other people so that people can hear about Christ. I was so humbled to visit with these people. Next slide. So, I mentioned too, one of the things that we're able to do is help them put in a well. There's a whole other story. I wish I could share more stories with you. Next slide. But as I would travel from place to place in Africa, I'd realize that the work I do as a project manager and as a missionary is not just being there to walk alongside them, to be able to help with an effort, to be able to see a project from the beginning all the way through to the end. It's also to be able to promote those efforts as well, too, so that we have the resources to be able to do that. The gifts that we give as congregations that go towards missions, of the 100 projects that we have, that supports maybe 20 of those. And then we have another 80 projects that there are needs for in Africa, but we don't have the funding for those. And one of the things that I was asked to do was to put those together into a catalog to be able to show and allow congregations and youth groups and Bible studies to be part of the work that's taking place there. I don't have one of the sheets with me. But on the table and back, what I did was take some pictures, a little bit of a description and a map, and a way that somebody could be part of a given effort in Africa. Water is one of those things we have a need for right now, and Bibles as well, too. Help for some of the growing churches, like the one in Malawi, to be able to have scholarships for those men to become pastors. And even needs of mercy as well, to have a couple efforts that are still unfunded right now. In Burundi, there's a desire to teach the women vocation so that they can provide for their families. And soap making is one of those things that they can do fairly easily because they can use the tools that they have readily available there. But it gives a chance for the ladies to talk, and they share the gospel within their communities when they do that as well, too. I have some brochures for the soap making in Burundi. And that kind of became my a project I got to do, is be able to share this information with congregations and make this available for them. Next slide. But our life in Africa isn't just about the mission work all the time. It's a bit like living in a zoo sometimes. Not just because I have 5 kids, but because, you know, the animals are right there as well, too. Thad has just finished feeding a giraffe in an elephant or a giraffe orphanage nearby our town. And he put it in his hand, but if he was really brave, he could put it in his mouth and just lick it right off his mouth. We do have monkeys as well, too, in our yard. I hate dispelling myths, but monkeys are not cute. They're pesky. They steal things. I didn't mention, but one of the things we do get to do, because our vegetables we get to buy from the market, my wife will send me to go get some vegetables. And sometimes I can go to the market. Sometimes I can go to the roadside stand. If I go to the roadside stand, I have to have a bit of a discussion with the man while I'm there. But I can ask him, I need Mama, because it's not me going shopping. Mama is sending me to buy avocados, and she needs avocados for today and avocados for tomorrow. And he'll go through all the avocados, and he'll pick out just the right ones that we need for today and for tomorrow. I would not have to do that all the time, because we have 5 avocado trees in our yard. But the monkeys steal them. So... And the dogs bark at the monkeys laugh at the dogs, and the kids chase the monkeys out. So, next slide. But to be able to live with monkeys, to be able to learn foreign languages, to move our family to Africa, to be able to walk alongside pastors, to be able to share the gospel, so that things like this can happen. so that people can hear the gospel in their own language. And they're hearing it in four different languages in this day, two tribal languages, Swahili and English. And they're hearing it from a pastor that's been trained in their own country. And Pastor Mutai has not just been trained in Kenya, but he is a missionary from the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya to the people of Turkana, really kind of a lost tribe and region within Kenya, but which is becoming quickly a crossroads of refugees coming into the area, nomadic people that travel through that area, but also because of the discovery of oil and water in that region, huge social dynamics are having place in that area, and that's why the church in Kenya wanted to be able to send a missionary to be able to live with those people in their huts and in their environment. And they're hearing the gospel in a church that they built themselves, and we helped them put the roof on. And they're sharing the gospel in their community as well, too. This church in Lokichar has started five other congregations. And in fact, the one in Lakori has started four congregations on its own as well, too. The gospel is spreading. The Lord continues to be at work and sharing, bringing people to Christ across the whole continent of Africa. And that's why we are there serving as missionaries. So our pastors can train men to become pastors in congregations like this and continue to spread the gospel across the continent. Next slide. I wish I had more time to share stories, but as I mentioned, we do have a blog or a newsletter that we sent out. I should have sent this out earlier as well, too. There you go. If you'd like to put your name and email address on there, please do. We have a blog that is also on our prayer card, so if you take one of our prayer cards, that is listed on there. The video of the women singing in Malawi is on there, if you'd like to hear that, especially LWML ladies, to see your sisters in Christ in Africa. If you'd like to send us an email as well, too, please do. It's nice to hear from folks, to know that you are praying for us and thinking about us. Every once in a while, I get an email from one of the men over in Johnstown, and he just writes me simply, "How are you doing?" I'll send him a whole book back that says, "This is how it's going," because it's phenomenal what the Lord is doing. Next slide. But as I mentioned, the gifts that we give as congregations that go towards supporting missions, supports the projects I get to work with. And that helps us build churches, helps us train men to become pastors, helps provide means for soap making, for vocational training, helps provide for orphans and widows, or orphans in Kenya. The gifts that we give as missionaries, though, don't send our missionaries to the field. And you know that, that is you, our friends, our family, our congregations that are walking alongside us and supporting the work and being part of a missionary, because we're all missionaries. We're just working in different contexts, and we're sharing what we're sharing about Christ and what he has done for us. Gifts can be given on the web page on top there, securely online, or if you'd like to write a gift, write it to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the memo line, denote that for the John Wolfe Kenya, and those gifts will go towards our operating budget. And as I mentioned during the service, the operating budget is not my salary. That provides for the work permits and the documents that we need to live in country, to have a safe house, to be able to have transportation, but also for me to be able to travel into the different continents or different countries within Africa. And those visas and the travel get expensive sometimes. So a large part of my operating budget is just that travel. If you have any questions, there's a phone number on the bottom as well, too. Or you can contact us as well, too. In the notebook that I'm sending around, there are some prayer cards. There are some postcards as well, too. I think there's only about three in there because I'm running short on the end part of this. On Monday, actually tomorrow, 6:50 a.m., I will start my journey back to Kenya. But in 2 years, we will be back here. Every 2 years, we get to come back. And that time will probably start in Virginia and Maryland because we're stationed there. We have some church families out there that we need to visit as well, too, and work our way back to Colorado and Wyoming. So there'll be a chance that we'll be back here as well, too. And certainly for the Thursday morning men's breakfast, because I have nothing else to do at 6:30 in the morning on Thursdays. So, but thank you again for your time today. It's such a blessing to be with you, even if it is short and brief. I do get to step out a little bit, so I'll take a couple questions, but I have to run over to Gloria Christie and thank them as well, too, and then be back here for the end of the second service. But any questions? Yes, sir. Yes, English Bibles. We can buy them for about $7 a Bible in Kenya. And it works best to be able to buy them in country. It does a few things. It helps local publishers. It helps that when we buy them locally, we don't have to pay the tariffs for bringing them in. I'm going to bring a few Bibles with me when I go back this time, but if we bring large shipments in, they tend to get taxed, and that tax can be 200 to 800%, depending upon what country we bring them in through. So a $7 Bible here in the States could quickly become $70. So we're able to purchase them in country. That's good. Any other, yes, sir. Yes, so that can be done. We do have short-term teams that come periodically. In fact, I was just gifted two big boxes of books. One of them I'll take with. Another I'm going to send to a team, and they'll bring it with them as well. So that works as well, too. Please stay in touch with me if there are some that you have idea that you'd like to send. In March, we will have a team coming forward, and we'd have to mail those to the right place to be able to get them there. And we need to allow a couple months to be able to do that. So by December, those should probably be in the mail. By then. So please be in touch with me. Okay. Question?
So, strange question. Given kind of the shift of how Christianity is in the United States versus mm-hmm. what's going on in Africa, do you ever see a time where Africa will be sending missionaries?
Right now.
To the United States?
Right now. Mm-hmm.
It's already happening.
When we were stationed in Las Vegas, Pastor Jayla was from Liberia, and he was had a Lutheran congregation in the center of a downtown area of Las Vegas where there aren't a lot of churches anymore there. And he was supporting African immigrants coming in. And they would be from other denominations. They would become Lutheran soon after that. But there weren't, he said the American churches weren't supporting the African immigrants coming in. There's a South Sudanese church in, is it Longmont, down here? As well, too. It's nearby here. There's a South Sudanese and an Ethiopian congregation. That's what it is. Okay, Lakewood. I was just in Fargo as well, too, and there's a Liberian congregation there. Somebody was just telling me that there's an Anglican church in Fort Collins that is now under one of the Anglican churches in Africa. They stepped away from the Episcopal Church, and they fall under. And that has happened as well, too, in Helsinki, Finland. Because of the social practices and the pressures that pastors cannot preach Christ, there is a missionary, he's Finnish, but he is ordained under the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya, and he has a mission plant in Helsinki, Finland. So we're seeing that happen already. Yeah. They look at us like we're crazy. So, any other questions? Yes. I will pass on your greetings. Thank you. Yes. I'll pass greetings from Trinity and Greeley. All right. Well, thank you again for your time. So good. I want to get a picture of you, but it only works if everybody smiles, okay? All right. All right. Thank you.